PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
You just listen to the old Pork Chop Express here now and take his advice on a dark and stormy night when the lightning's crashing and the thunder's rolling and the rain's coming down in sheets thick as lead. Just remember what old Jack Burton does when the earth quakes and the poison arrows fall from the sky and the pillars of heaven shake. Yeah, Jack Burton just looks that big old storm right square in the eye and he says, "Give me your best shot, pal. I can take it."
It's a Chris Crespo radio show.
Yes!
Everybody likes him. Listen to his shit.
"Any who obstruct me in carrying out my duty will be treated as an accessory to our crimes. You have been warned. And as for you, Mama, judgment time."
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
I don't know if it's smooth or ominous. I'm conflicting thoughts in my head with that one, Chris.
I want to pop open champagne and drink a little bit now.
But then also start a bar fight.
I was about to say.
With that bottle.
But I want to use flaming rounds to light an entire floor of people on fire.
You know, Drew, just on the other side of pain is pleasure.
I flew.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. Well, then never mind. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 284. Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, chilling in the Crespediso studio with Drewster Cogburn and Drewster.
What up?
Cogburn. I have your current threat level update. Current threat level is yellow. Picture. Yes, just like your shirt, Drew. Current threat level is yellow. Capitulation can be liberating. Drewster Cogburn's here with our weather update, Drew.
It's hot outside.
Man, it's so hot. That's your weather update. Thank you guys for listening. Shout out to our listeners in England. I hope that weather report helps you.
Whenever and wherever you are.
Out there in the town of Hertfordshire.
I mean, I'm pretty sure, like, if someone was listening to this in Alaska right now, it would not be hot.
Shout out to our listeners in Alaska. We definitely got at least two of them.
Hey, that's all we need.
Thanks, guys. It is hot. It is so hot, man. So enjoy that Aurora Borealis with us. First time guest, he's been on the Simon Time Trivia show a couple times. Shout out to the fellow PFT show, Simon Time Trivia.
So have I.
As well as Drewster Cogburn, 3-time winner, excuse me. Although, now also.
One-time
loser. But we have ourselves a first-time guest here from the Rounds Podcast. First, we had Tommy James. Now he is here from parts... I'm going to give him a wrestling intro. From parts unknown. No, how about this? From... Truth or Consequences, New Mexico.
Is that a real place? Please tell me it is.
Jack is from there.
Yeah,
intercontinental champion of 1986. Ladies and gentlemen, Eddie Big Money Rodriguez.
Hey, everybody. What's up? Big Money Eddie here talking from the Second Rounds, Florida edition. Having a blast here with my good friend Chris Crespo.
Yes. And good old Juicy Cogburn. Hey, how you doing, Eddie?
Doing good, man. Bouncing around, and you just told me to come over here, and I went like, why not? I want to have a good conversation about film anywhere.
He's like, yeah, let's come. This is, if you want to talk about movies, this is the place to do it. The second rounds, the round shows, there's two editions, Florida and New York. You're in the Florida edition, obviously, that's why you're here. And it's a comic...
Is that the way it works?
Yes, it is the way it works, and it's comic book heavy.
It's comic book heavy, but we also do movies.
Pop culture.
And pop culture in general. Actually, yesterday we recorded an episode that you can check us out on a couple of places. We'll talk about that some other place. But we actually talked about best R&B singers. And we did a Who You Got Challenge, which is what made us famous.
There you go.
Which is an NCAA bracket style tournament.
Yeah.
But it was just R&B.
R&B singers?
Yeah.
Of all time or of a specific time
all
period?
All time. Oh. So we went R&B classics, just like Barry White and B.B. King, yeah. And all the way to... The Weeknd right now, and Ne-Yo.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Frank Ocean. And,
yeah.
Yeah, some modern stuff. Man, Drew, who you got for a best R&B?
Isley Brothers, bro.
Isley's.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, bro. Yeah. Every time.
I'm going to go, I don't know, man. Can't beat that Marvin Gaye. That's
Marvin.
He is so good.
I had BB King. So
BB King, BB King is good. I mean, definitely got the blues down and all that rhythm. Boom, 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 boom.
Real's gone.
There's also what's his name, Marty McFly. He's great too. He invented rock and roll. Did you know? Yeah, he
did. You know that sound you were looking for?
Listen to this, guys. Welcome to Chris and Drew. We talk about movie music history with a guest. This week's guest is big money Eddie. What is your favorite fake music history moment in a movie?
Favorite fake?
There's Almost Famous. There's
there's this Spinal Tap.
There's the Spinal Tap. That would
definitely be. Well, this goes up to 11.
Yes, no. Yes.
I mean, when Dr. Manhattan claims he's a golden god, high on LSD, and then jumps into a pool.
Yeah.
What was the music part of that?
That was in Almost Famous.
Oh, you mean literally an Almost Famous, but you said Dr. Manhattan. I was like, when did that happen in
Dr.
Washington?
Dr. Manhattan, yeah.
Yes, Billy Crudup, that is correct. man, this is Spinal Tap's a great answer for fake movie music history.
It's just that the documentary itself, the mockumentary, that whole style was just...
Yeah, well, that's Christopher Guest right there, laying the foundation for what would be the majority of his career.
Walk Hard was in that same vein.
Yeah, fantastic definitely. One. Yes, it is.
I would say Josie and the Pussycats, too.
Did you see the movie?
Yeah, I saw the movie, and it's very underrated. A lot of people... But talking about just the show and the comics, too.
How about Gem and the Holograms? Like, plus, they made that into a movie. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Chris and Drew talking about fake music history in movies with guests. That was a wonderful episode, guys. Thank you very much. I think that podcast is going to be popular. I think it is. People are going to like that one.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think it's going to blow up, Drew. I hope you're ready to produce that weekly, on a weekly basis.
Not.
All right, well then, here we go. Let's start with the real reason we're here, Cinema Crespo Iso, which means we're going to start with the streaming pick of the week, and that starts with this.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Cinema Crespediso streaming.
That's right, it's time for your Cinema Crespediso streaming
pick of the week. And this week we talk about the different movies available. Oh my god, Drew, I'm falling out of hole.
And Chris is gone. We'll never see him again. Thank God. I've been waiting for this moment for the last 5 years. Sir, what's the pick of the week?
You see, when we take a look at the offers that have been, you cannot get an offer like this one. The offer Netflix has, an offer you can't refuse. The Godfather.
Chris, come on, crawl in that hole. Get back over here. You got hosting duties to do.
I'm climbing out of the hole. I'm climbing out. Oh, my God.
There's monsters. And you know what's down there, Drew?
Yes,
you know
I
that hole is there?
Yes. I'm going to put the monsters in the hole.
Why'd you make that hole there and put the monsters down there?
So one day you could fall into
it. It was behind my seat the whole time.
Yes.
Oh, Drew, goddamn.
You need to pay more attention to your surroundings.
I'm going to see. The problem is, when I walked into this house, I didn't think there was a nexus of evil.
That's the thing.
It's right behind his seat.
You know how some places are built on top of
Indian burial grounds?
This one's
almost like...
It's almost like that. We're built on top of an interdimensional portal to other
almost like
places.
The entire United States of America is on some sort of ancient Indian burial ground.
Yeah, that's for sure. That is the truth. But now we're built on top of an interdimensional hellscape, and Drew apparently captured one of those monsters and put it into a hole right behind
my
seat. I
didn't capture.
How dare you try to trap me?
I didn't capture and put it in the hole. I just...
And then you refused to continue the show with my name.
He will continue using
I just
your name.
Noticed the hole.
Using my name.
I noticed the hole and befriended the monsters.
You son of a bitch.
I mean...
Do you know their language? Their ancient language and everything? That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, or they just learn English because, you know...
They talk to me. I think it's like a psychic link or something.
It's because he's interdimensional. They're interdimensional monsters.
You just hear, Mishiko
that's what you guys hear. And to me, he's like, yo, what's up, bro? You gonna eat that?
Yo, Bobo, what's up?
You gonna eat that, he says. Streaming pick of the week is The Godfather on Netflix. We had, in case people didn't hear, Marlon Brando came back from the dead and announced it for us, and then he left. So, Eddie, good job getting Marlon Brando to do your job for
you. Thank you.
The one thing we asked you to do, and he pawned it off to Marlon Brando. Godfather, classic film, obviously. You know, Drew.
One of my favorite films.
It is. I mean, it's a great movie for a reason. You know, it's a classic for a reason. And I think, like, a younger folk, when is it, 70, 76?
It's 74.
74.
If I'm not mistaken, it's
1972.
74. Oh,
72. Wait, ignorant motherfuckers.
This motherfucker here. All right, Coppola had a decade.
I don't have a computer next to me.
I know.
I was closer.
And we don't have Boris here to rattle off exact years for every single movie ever made. That was crazy that was when Boris did that. And I just happened to pick that game.
He really is.
Artistic. Coppola had a hell of a decade where Godfather in 72.
Apocalypse Now.
And then in the same year, he does The Conversation and The Godfather Part 2. Both of them nominated for Best Picture. And then, you know. Godfather Part 2. Spoiler alert. Godfather, man, epic film. If people who hadn't seen this movie, like if you wanted to make it part of your Crespo Hundo movies you've never seen before in 2018, I think people would be shocked by the violence of it and how intense it gets. Like every 20 minutes, someone dies very hard.
And I mean, but here's the thing though, this movie has been referenced by so many other things since then that.
I think the shock of the beheaded horse.
No one's really done that, have they? After this, like, no one's done like, no, hey, by the way, here's a whole fucking horse head.
But it has been spoofed like on The Simpsons and stuff.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
So, everywhere. So to your point, I think the shock of that maybe has maybe been embedded a little bit because it is in pop culture.
Yeah.
And then like the Don Corleone stuff. All like it's been parodied so much that it's understood.
Exactly. They almost have seen the movie.
It's just like Star Wars. I would say Star Wars, The Godfather, and too few other films like that are so much in the zeitgeist of what is pop culture that even though people haven't seen it, they have.
Right.
But to me, when you see that film, and it's not a spoiler because it's the first scene.
Yeah.
To me, it's one of the best scenes of the entire film, and it expresses everything about The Godfather. It sets up everything perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
When the first line of the film says, mm-hmm. "I believe in America,"
you're right,
and it's a story about immigration.
Yes,
it's a story about American dream, mm-hmm. American capitalism, mm-hmm. Everything.
Definitely capitalism. Definitely out there, get it for yourself. You know, even if it means bucking the system and all that stuff. Yeah,
how the system works and everything. Mm-hmm. And in just 10 minutes. The film sets itself on what it's going to tell you and everything in that scene. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's one of the best opening scenes of any film.
And then for the rest of the movie, people either get a knife garroted or machine gunned down at regular interviews or straight up exploded. Drew, someone gets exploded. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Michael!
Boom!
No!
There's the scene towards the end when it's set in a church, Michael Corleone, they're doing a christening.
Yeah.
It's a big-ass church. And then they walk out of the church and they're leaving the building. That church is in Staten Island and there's a big open field next to it that's used for like some private baseball leagues. When I was in middle school, I had a baseball game that was out on that field.
Nice.
And I was like, that's the church that's in The Godfather. And I was like in fifth grade. I was like, I don't know what The Godfather is. And then I went to play and then the field was covered in goose shit.
Really?
Yes. Sweet.
So I had to play in Goose Shit as well.
Congratulations,
Goosey,
Chris.
Goosey.
Yeah. So that's what I think of when I think of The Godfather. Ladies and gentlemen.
Not shit, hopefully.
Think of that Goose Shit. Think of that church. Shit. Think of that Goose Shit. It's a fantastic movie. So good. Netflix pick of the week. Drew, do you still have it up on the Just Watch there?
Mm-hmm.
Is it available on anything other than...
just Netflix just for Netflix. Streaming right now. All right,
guys. So,
and it's a must-buy. If I were to say something, you know, as a recommendation... buy all three, even though Godfather 3 is not on par with 1 and 2.
Right,
just
sure.
Just buy it because...
Just get the box set.
Watch Godfather 3 as the epilogue of the story. Mm-hmm.
Get a little bit of Andy Garcia in your life.
Yeah, and one of his best roles, even though it's not the best Godfather film, it's definitely one of the best roles. And it has one of the best Al Pacino acting scenes when his... Spoilers. His daughter dies. Mm-hmm. That crying scene.
Yeah.
On the steps to me was just amazing because it's when he screams but there's no sound.
Right.
I went like because I've seen that
actual grief. Yeah.
Actual true grief.
You believe it. Yeah. Well, that's what Pacino is. He's one of the few where for the longest time you really believed him, even when he was getting extreme with his.
You believe emotions. Everything Al Pacino does every time.
But then he got. But that's the older Pacino though, which up to a point you believed him. I said right around the 2000s, you got to stop. But then younger Pacino, he's up in that higher register, you know, when he's like, this whole court's out of order. You know, he's doing that whole thing. It's weird how as he gets older, I guess that happens to all of us though, right? Our voices drop as we get older.
Also, 1,000 packs of cigarettes helps with that.
Yeah, they'll do it too.
Yeah.
I'll show you out of order.
A lot of whiskey. The booze will do it too. Delicious booze. Alright, there you go. Godfather Netflix, that is your streaming pick of the week. Now let's talk about, hey, we got big money here, Drew. It's time to talk about some big money. With a box office. Box office top five dollar bills, y'all. Juicy Cogburn. Where are we starting? Our top five.
Number five.
That's right.
Deadpool 2.
Deadpool 2.
An additional $8.8 million, total of $294 domestic.
Okay. How much did it make in the weekend?
$8.8 million.
In a couple of weeks, it'll break $300 million domestic. Well, yeah, there you go. Pretty good. Not as much as the first Deadpool did domestically, but also the first one came out in February, so
it does help that it was no competition. There.
Right, for a couple months there, it was just Deadpool. This is the summer, obviously, so whenever you put a movie out in the summer, you know you're dealing with.
That helped Deadpool, and it helped Black Panther.
It helped Black Panther a lot. Just look at what happened to Avengers. Avengers still gigantic movie, huge opening weekend, obviously, but a month later, it's pretty much gone. It's in one screen. Most theaters because there's all these other movies.
Avengers.
And they want a lot of screens.
Avengers is number 8 this week.
Number 8. How much did it make?
$5.2 million.
How long did it take Black Panther to drop to number 8? Like 2 months? Yeah.
Two and a half months. And it's not discrediting the quality of
it's
the films.
It's about the timing of release.
It's about timing. It's marketing. Yeah. It's a marketing thing.
And Avengers can claim to be the biggest movie of the summer, but did it lose out on money in the long run by coming out during the summer?
Black Panther is still in theaters. Number 26 this week.
How much money?
$847,000.
Did it get to the 700
total of $699,654.
I'm telling you, they're trying to keep it in those dollar theaters long enough to get to. They want to say it's $700.
They
got
it. They got to keep it for another 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's what they want. They want it so bad. Deadpool. We talk about Deadpool. Did you enjoy Deadpool? Did you see it?
I enjoyed Deadpool. Yeah. I think it was referenced galore and everything
that. Sure.
And I think it's a great parody of Logan.
Yes.
In some ways,
yes.
It is for sure.
Yes, it is.
And they're very sure about it in the beginning too, where it's like, "Screw you for dying in your movie.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Now I have to die in mine."
Yeah.
It's very funny.
So it's a great parody of that. I think it was. Pretty decent. I enjoyed it.
Okay, there you go. So you're not in love with it, not over the moon for it. Just you enjoyed it. That was good.
Yeah. I've always said that sometimes in because of podcast culture, YouTube culture, and everything like that, you rather have to love it, you have to hate it.
Sure.
And sometimes it's just like, yeah,
sometimes
that's okay.
Sometimes it's just ambivalent. Sometimes yeah. Like, yeah,
it was good. I enjoyed it.
It was fine. Yeah, absolutely. All right, there you go. There you go. A little bit of good, not great from Ed on Deadpool 2. Drew, what's number 4?
Solo, A Star Wars Story. Mm. An additional $9.081 million, total of $192.
Ooh.
That is going to bomb.
$9 million, did you say?
Yes.
Okay, so it is going to crack. I was wondering if it was even going to make $200 million domestically.
Yeah, it will.
It sounds like it will. $225 is out of the question. What's it at worldwide, though? Has it even hit $250 worldwide? 300 total?
Oh, 146 foreign, total of 339 worldwide.
339, okay, yeah. It's so we're disappointing for them. Expect to be a money loser for Disney.
It is definitely... I have a lot of opinions about the film, just like The Last Jedi, because it was such a complicated issue.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll say that I enjoyed it more than Last Jedi, me personally.
Okay.
Just because of respect towards... the lore per se. However, I will say that respect to lore does not a great movie make also. So
sure.
Even though I enjoyed it, mm-hmm. I can't say it was a great film because it's basically you have to sell that Han Solo is Han Solo.
Yeah.
And then you don't have a chance to get him to become Han Solo. So there's a couple of things that that opened up naturally in the film that I went like, okay, you're doing this naturally in the film because people know it. But it's not story-wise. Taking apart that there's dozens and dozens of multimedia projects that deal with these characters. If you see this film alone, mm-hmm. you don't buy how Chewie became friends.
Oh, any of the stuff, yeah, because it's all so tied into all the other movies. Like, yeah. it doesn't exist as its own movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a problem. And I had that ambivalent feeling towards Solo. I think Drew does as well, where it's like, yeah, it was fine, right? I mean, it was a movie.
I'm sure.
It was long. My butt was hurting at the end of it. And it's not the longest movie I've seen, but it felt long.
I really only enjoyed maybe like two or three scenes.
A few scenes are like generally like these are good scenes.
The scene in the mall cluster was really good when they're trying to escape.
Yes, the Kessel Run.
The Kessel Run.
And as
a Star Wars fan, just seeing the mall cluster there, you just read it in the books and everything like that, and just being like, the mall cluster.
It's cool how they threw away a lot of that canon, stuff that was canon, but now they can just cherry pick it and take what you want.
I have honestly always thought, and if I would have pitched it to Disney, I would have said, keep the whole books and everything like that so people keep buying those things. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what you do is you create your films are 200 to 300 years after the events of Return of the Jedi.
Oh, sure. Well, that sounds like... Return of the Jedi. That sounds like something that they would do for episodes where we're on 10, 11, 12.
Yeah.
Like, but right, the Skywalker thing has to end with Kylo Ren and all this now here in episode 9 coming up. So they got to do something new. Plus, they got Rian Johnson doing his own trilogy thing.
But my thing is, I think episode 7 should have started like that. Like, leave these characters behind and everything. If you want to do cameos and things like that, if you want to have Mark Hamill, just have him as a ghost.
Sure. He's going to come back in 9 as a ghost. As a ghost table.
And it's a good cop-out where you don't have to create, like, what's it called? Have to create a story arc for him or anything like that. Just have him be the OP character that everybody wanted him to be. Mm-hmm. But he can't participate in your story because he's a ghost. So,
like Yoda.
Yeah, exactly. Sure, you keep it OP, but you keep him out of the story and you have new characters. You don't have to worry about pleasing nostalgia or anything like that. You can focus on just building something new.
Yeah, it's a thing. The Star Wars universe, for being a universe, is so tiny. Yeah. Every character is tied into
it. It's based around one family, Chris.
The entire universe is based on one.
One family. The Skywalkers.
The Bush family of the universe. The Skywalker clan.
Oh, I wouldn't call them the Bush family. I would call them the Kennedys.
They're way too much of pussies to be the Bushes.
I guess they're more Kennedys. Yeah, but one of the Kennedys goes, what if...
Tragedy after tragedy.
Yeah, but what if John F. K... they shot him, but then they took his body and then, like, rebuilt him $6 million man style and then rolled him out as, like, Darth Kennedy.
And turned him into a Republican.
And it's like, we have to take down the poor. Sure. You know, they'd be like, oh my god, he used to be on our side. We had one Catholic president, they shot him. just think about that. Drew Cogburn.
Hey, I was raised Catholic, man. One true faith right here, buddy.
Funniest thing you ever seen.
I know, right?
Well, it's a number 3 movie.
Number 3, Tag. 14.6 million Sims total.
Interesting. Production budget?
28.
I was going to say 20 to 30, and mostly on that cast, right?
I haven't seen it.
No, see it. Definitely didn't have time to, and it wasn't on the top of my list of movies to see this weekend. Can you pull up the Rotten Tomatoes so we can see if it was even worth it? Tag, the movie in which Jeremy Renner...
56%.
Right down the middle. Who was in a Bourne movie, he's done a bunch of Avengers movies, he's done all this action, and on the Tag film he broke...
SWAT.
And he did SWAT, and then Tag, he broke both of his arms.
Yep.
Doing a stunt in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yes. He broke his arms.
Out of all the films
he's done. So there's a... if you watch the movie, there's at least one scene apparently where you can see his cast on one of his arms, a soft cast. And then there's other scenes where they pretty much CG'd his arms to make him, like, have not broken arms.
So that's a weird
does
thing
he have
to
like
CG.
Does he have, like, weird...
They had to, though.
Does he have, like, weird floppy arms, like, I didn't see the weird Henry Cavill lip?
I don't know.
It's like... it's like... In my top things of weird CGs, that would definitely be up there then. Obviously, number one would be...
the most recent, the Cavill.
The super stash.
Super face.
No. Number one is the CGing out of Homeboy's balls.
Oh, yeah, in Call Me By Your Name?
Yeah.
That is the number one.
That's a weird thing that they had to do. But you don't notice it, though.
You don't notice it.
But they had to CG out his balls, Chris.
Army Hammer's balls and Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah.
His biggest balls in Hollywood.
Have you seen that movie yet? I think it's on... Yeah. It's a good... I like that movie.
I like it.
The guy who did that, Luca Guadagnino, however you say it, he's Italian. He also did A Bigger Splash, which I know you've seen. Have you seen that one?
Yeah. That's where we see the little Fines.
That's a really good one. Yeah, Ray Fines did it at the end. You get to see the little Fines. Yeah. It's like, oh, look at that thing. It's
but yeah, no,
bobbing up and down.
I've heard of penis reductions for a couple of celebrities because they're apparently so big.
Sure, yeah. It's a hindrance, yeah.
And then I remember, I don't know if you remember this, for Herbie Fully Loaded, Lindsay Lohan's boobs had to be reduced.
They did reduce her boobs, really? Yeah, because she's wearing a bodysuit the whole time. That's correct. I didn't know.
And then since it's a kid's film, it was too alluring.
That's hysterical. Mm. I totally forgot about that. That's hysterical. yeah, in the same way, Armie Hammer, there's a shot where his shorts are like, he's sitting there in the way the camera is, and then what's his name? Chalamet grabs his junk, he's trying to turn him on, and then he moves it around.
Balls.
And then the director was like, it's like, not only did I underestimate the shortness of the shorts, I underestimated the largeness of this man's balls. They fell out the sides, we had to CG him out.
Maybe he has a little steak, but big balls.
Maybe. You don't want that. You want the reverse. Little potatoes make the steak look bigger. Drew, thank God we have a podcast here willing to talk about male genitalia and the size of it. It finally exists.
I almost said it on SBK. Podcast.
Oh yeah,
we started talking about shit.
The same thing. I was talking about shit. Finally,
I almost said it, but
finally,
I
the show talking about shit.
Yeah.
There was another instance of bad CG. I was going to talk about something else. Luca Guadagnino, who also did Bigger Splash and Call Me by Your Name. He's the one who's coming out this year with the Suspiria remake.
Oh really?
Yes, he's the one who directed that. Have you seen that trailer?
No,
I've seen the trailer. It looks wild.
Dakota, what's her name?
Fanning?
No,
Johnson.
Johnson. She was on A Bigger Splash.
Remember? Okay. Yeah, she was.
Okay, I have to see it.
So Tilda Swinton, come on, it's good. Oh man, it's the sexiest movie of the year, in which the sexiest kiss in the movies between two men, and for sure it happens after a murder ?
That's sexy.
it's a great movie, man. It's really, really well made. He's a great director. He's a very interesting director. And then what he said about Call Me By Your Name is, after he made that, it's based on one book, but he made Call Me By Your Name and he was like, I want to make a whole universe of this movie. I want to make sequels upon sequels.
The Call Me By Your Name-iverse.
Yeah, just following these characters and developing this world. I'm like, you are crazy, man.
Can you imagine all of them are Call Me By Something?
Call Me By Your...
Nickname?
Call Me By Your Dog's Name.
Call Me
By Your Dog's Name.
I don't have to. We'll go get a dog.
Call Me By My Name.
Exactly. Yeah. that's the last one. That's too confusing. You want me to call you what?
I want you to call me by my name.
But what is your name? But you have to call me.
I forgot. Oh, it's a movie about the Tinder generation. The number... Because this, the first one, Call Me By Your Name, took place in the 80s. So, you know, they catch up to today. It took place in 84. In the great t-shirt shortage of Italy of 1984. That was the number three movie we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
How did we get there? Tag.
Tag.
Well, 50-something percent?
Yeah.
What was the consensus? Like, it's not bad, but it's whatever.
What's the audience score?
The audience score is probably like...
Audience score is actually 75%.
Yeah, audiences are dumb.
Yeah. For audiences seeking a dose of high-concept yet undemanding action comedy, Tag might be close enough to it.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Ah, OBP. Mm-hmm. So what's the number two movie?
Number dose... is Ocean's 8, made $19.5 million, total of 79.
Ocean's 8 horn, $79 million. Man, I'll make 100 and... could it get to $115 million?
No.
Probably. You don't think so? How much did it make this weekend?
19.
10 next, 15.
It'll break 100 for sure.
Yeah. It'll definitely break 100.
Yep.
Maybe 115. Definitely wanted more money on this one. Obviously, you say that about most movies, right? You always want more money.
Yeah. Every.
But there's obviously a range where you can at least say that they're happy with that take, and I don't think they're going to be happy.
They're not going to be happy about it.
But then again, we saw this movie, and you know what? It was okay.
There's a reason why it's not making the money that it should. It's because they didn't give it the treatment that it should have had.
I think just the premise alone is not worth it. Like, it's an Ocean's 11 remake, but with girls. So you go like, no, women don't need to coast off of... a remake, just like Ghostbusters. Just give your own film And people might do like, oh, it's kind of like Ocean's 11. You go, yeah, but it's different.
But it's the whole dumb compromise that the film execs want to do between trying to cater to an audience that's underserved, but then also tap into an audience that pre-exists. So it's like, we want to use these IPs. Instead of coming with a whole new story featuring these women, we can call it Ocean something. Yeah. And then we can market it as, oh, it's the Ocean's World. Yeah. That way they can do marketing shorthand. Yeah. Yep. But then, yes, it ends up firing back at you when you see this movie. It's like, you know what? All it is a heist that is not as inspired as the other movies. And while the cast is great and their chemistry is great,
and it's like a great disservice to the talent behind the film.
Yes, and you know what? I mean, they give it their best. I don't feel like it's cynical necessarily the way they made this movie, but I do feel like it missed the mark and that it's not as fun as it could have been. I wanted to like it more than I did.
It's my best example for this would be Bridesmaids. It's basically Hangover for with women in it, but it's different.
Mm-hmm.
It's unique in its take and what and it's all women leading it and everything like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's that gross out Hangover style comedy.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's different
without being the Hangover with women, where it's women going on a bachelorette party and they forget the night.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So yeah. I find that's my best example of. Yeah, you can create something similar, but just create something new.
Sure, sure. It's funny you bring up Hangover, like a Hangover for Women thing. That's what I sort of thought Girls Trip was going to be last year when I saw the marketing. Yeah. And then I actually saw the movie recently, and I was like, oh, it's way more like dramatic. And the story that's in the movie is not the story that's at all in the marketing. You know, they marketed something different.
I saw it with my fiance, and I was just like,
Did you see it in theaters? I saw it at home.
I saw it at home.
I saw it later, so my expectations were then lowered, and I thought it was fine enough. Like, I enjoyed it. I loved Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah.
But and then the Jada Pinkett Smith was really funny and stuff.
Man. She's the steal of that film.
But I was, like, surprised about all the other, like, the A story with Gabriel Union and, what's his name, Mike, the dude who's Luke Cage. I was like, wait, they're marriage celebrities? I don't know what's going on.
It's,
I was like, Drew, I don't know what's going on. Drew, do you know what's going on?
I didn't see the movie, Chris.
Oh.
It's not. It's a skip. If you see it, see it.
See it.
But
if you see it, Drew, see it.
Yeah.
I won't. Don't worry.
What's number one movie?
Incredibles 2.
Oh, yeah.
Is it?
$180 million.
Is that more than Finding Dory? Does that make it the number one animated opening weekend?
Yes, it does.
One of the main reasons I went and saw Incredibles 2, I wanted to make sure we saw it, is because I knew it was going to be one of the biggest, at least box office-wise, animated films of all time. Finding Dory ended up making $400-something million domestic, so we'll see if it's 180 now, which means it could make up to 80, 90 next weekend, 270, 350. Depending on the word of mouth, this thing has the upside of $400 million for sure.
I mean, it's the highest rated PG movie. I mean, the highest grossing PG movie opening weekend of all time.
More so than Beauty and the Beast, which is wild because Beauty and the Beast was one of the highest grossing films of 2 years ago.
Yep.
And that was a PG film.
That was PG?
Yes.
Was it a PG-13?
PG.
It was PG?
Yeah, Beauty and the Beast was PG. And it was like, when that came out, it was the biggest PG movie of all time. It was gigantic. Because PG-13 is that sweet spot of making money. All the big $2 billion, $1.5 plus billion movies, all of them PG-13. Your Harry Potters, Fast and Furiouses, your Batman, your Avatars, your Vaders.
Yeah. Although what I always say is PG-13 is just like
it's a half measure. It sucks.
It's today's PG.
Because PG used to be
back then was PG-13,
but then they wanted more nuance with the difference between PG.
Yeah, now you can say shit a lot more in your film because it's PG-13.
Hell yeah!
Yay!
Yeah, I can say shit all the time. Shit.
And you can say one fuck.
What's PG? Yeah, one fuck in a non-sexual context.
Yeah,
you can't say I'm a fuck that bitch. Automatic R. Like, I just said one fuck. Yeah, but he said you were gonna fuck her. That's not bad.
Not just her, but the female dog.
Well, that's bestiality. That doesn't matter. That's just typical misogyny. You can say that in a G movie. They were calling Mary Poppins a bitch all the time. And didn't you see Mary Poppins? You never saw Mary Poppins, did you?
I don't know. What's probably not.
Exactly. What's the. what was I gonna say? Oh, Incredibles 2. So we went and saw this.
Drew, what did you take? I can't believe how much I didn't like the movie.
What the hell happened? What was that? You too? Eddie.
I was way underwhelmed.
I was so underwhelmed.
Seriously, the best part of the movie was the baby and the raccoon. That was the best part of the entire movie.
When Incredibles 2 stopped, and then it started a short film called Jack-Jack versus the Raccoon. That was like a 3-minute short film. That was fantastic.
Jack-Jack versus the Raccoon was hilarious. Was like, it hit all the high points, all the low points. There was drama, there was action, and then there was this bullshit called The Incredibles 2 around
But why didn't you guys like it? Because I liked it.
Did you like it?
I didn't.
Did you like it?
It didn't catch...
That's why we're going to try to figure out right now why didn't I... I mean, did I not like it? Do I want to say I didn't like it?
Yes.
I was...
No, I'm saying I didn't like it. Straight up.
Really?
I didn't like it.
It was underwhelming, like Drew said.
Underwhelming.
The story itself, the overall story, the plot was like...
The plot...
When it was over, I was like...
Almost contrived. Like I knew.
This is your story?
I knew.
15 years later.
I knew the sister was the bad guy. Like 2 minutes into the film.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, but when you see Incredibles, you know Syndrome is going to be the bad guy from the beginning.
Yeah, but it didn't. but that's because of what they were setting up.
This movie, they set up to be more quote twisty than the whole syndrome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just nothing. It didn't feel. It felt like not even The Incredibles 2. It felt like The Incredibles 1.5 and...
Like a TV show, like an
the
episode.
The fact that it took him 15 years to get to this.
And the fact that, okay, so the first Incredibles comes out pre... Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
Pre... Mm-hmm. Nolan Batman. Mm-hmm. It's come out before all this superhero TV stuff. Netflix superheroes... Yep. Have inexplicably gotten so much
bigger. It's the best Fantastic Four adaptation ever.
Yeah, pretty much. Yes. 100%.
I was like, give Brad Bird Fantastic Four because no one else gets it. Now, all these years later, Incredibles 2 comes out, and when the first Incredibles was like, it's on the forefront of superhero storytelling, even though at the time there was also a lot of stealing from Watchmen, but that's a whole other story. This one just felt like... Just another entry, just another superhero thing. Like we're
and not even a good one.
Yeah, the thing that was special about it is gone, and now it's just a superhero thing, and it's just animated.
Yeah, well, I can agree.
Let me ask you this: what did you like about it? Because obviously you enjoyed it. So, what were you going for, and what did you feel like you got from it?
I went with zero expectations.
Okay,
because I like to go in a film and try not to have expectations.
Sure, yeah. It's hard to have no expectations.
Yeah, no, exactly. I was expecting...
It's like, don't think of an elephant.
Yeah. But when I went in, I want at least to know what happens next.
Sure.
Because it did address a few things that the first film didn't address, which is what happens, the superhero legislation was not revoked.
Right, it seemed it picked up almost immediately after.
It did,
right?
Immediately.
Which is surprising. I was like, oh, okay. Cool.
I found, was the story predictable? Yeah, it was predictable. But then again, for me, Incredibles, when I saw it, and granted, I was just 13, 14 when I was not surprised by the story. I was rather surprised by the character dynamics and the family story arc,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
which to me is what Incredibles is. It's a family story foremost.
It's
with
the Incredibles.
The Incredibles.
Yeah.
And what I liked is maybe the superhero aspect of it mm-hmm. was a little bit wishy-washy,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and I can agree with that mm-hmm. to that extent, but the family story... was strong, and I think
mm-hmm.
that's because I see the film as a family story first.
Right,
that's why I enjoy it.
I like the family stuff. It's weird though when it is a family movie, and then your family is not together for most of it. They're fractured for most of it. Not fractured like emotionally,
which is a metaphor of how they were at the end of the war.
Well, sure, yeah. I mean, obviously I know what they're going for, but then again, if that's what you're going to the movie for, then your family is like not together. Anyway. As I was watching the movie, I was kind of like... the humor wasn't hitting me as hard as I was hoping.
I can agree.
I was like, man, like I was like, these jokes are okay. Sometimes I laughed out loud.
Neither was the action.
The action was fine.
The action was fine. I wouldn't say it was great, but it was fine. It wasn't bad either.
It wasn't bad. There was some, well, was, I'm trying to think specifically. I feel like there's one action sequence. I was like, oh, this is
the beginning action sequence. Kind of thrilling.
The thing with the underminer. Yeah. The underminer stuff was cool.
Action wise, I found it that was the best.
I liked anything Frozone. Just his use of powers and the way this freezing stuff. It was a really good use of Frozone in this movie. A lot more Frozone, obviously, too. I like Bob Odenkirk because it was Bob Odenkirk. As I was watching,
is that? Yes, it is.
Is that Better Call Saul?
Yep.
But oh, and like Drew mentioned, highlight of the film for me, and I think telling based on audience reaction, packed audience full of disgusting, smelly kids. Jack.
Yeah, obviously.
Obviously, easy sell. You got a character that you can just make up a power as you go along. You're so just doing different things.
Which is just like they're the Fantastic Four. Jack is basically Franklin Richards, which Franklin Richards in the comics is one of the most powerful Marvel characters of all time.
But Franklin Richards as a baby.
Yeah.
Well, so he has no control of his power.
So he has no control. So
doing this and doing that.
So it's just really fun because I caught that. It's a minor reference. If you don't read the comics, a flyby, it's still cute and funny.
Sure.
But as a reference, it's just funnier.
At least for me. You can pick up on that. Yeah, like you said, it's a fantastic
horror riff to me, the film is a great metaphor for the superhero genre in general.
Right.
Because right now, when you're looking at it, it's not a Mr. Incredible story.
Mm-hmm.
It's an Elastigirl story, first and foremost.
Yes.
And he has to deal with the fact that she's in the forefront.
Right.
And that addresses some of the issues that we are seeing right now with we want more diversity representation.
For sure.
And at the same time, recognizing that being Mr. Incredible is not a bad thing.
Right.
So it's asserting that masculinity is fine. It's like reasserting it. And at the same time, addressing like there is a need for an other protagonist.
It is like helping to redefine what masculinity is. I mean, it does take place in the 50s, 60s, right?
Yeah.
So for sure, even when you reflect in that time period, that resonates even more. The at-home, stay-at-home dad is supposed to stay-at-home mom. But then, you can always make the argument about the whole diversity thing, making Elastigirl the lead. It's just white feminism. Hey, where are the black women? Where are the Asian women, et cetera? So, anyway, we're not going to go down that path. Drew Sakai,
but nobody would be happy at the end of the day.
You make black women happy or you make Asian women happy, but no, we'll focus on the white women. Drew Sakai, but you didn't like it at all. Drew?
Jack, the raccoon. Only good part of it.
That was a great short film. Speaking of short films, they played that bow.
Bao
had more of an emotional which is almost a cheat. You can do that seemingly easier in 4 to 5 minutes, I guess, than you can expecting someone to sustain that emotional arc over 2 hours.
I agree, but at the same my only criticism of the film would be that aside from the part where she eats the little thing,
so horrifying. That was crazy. Horrifying.
I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. You can hear the kids on the like, mom?
Why?
Yeah.
But aside from that, I found it was an obvious metaphor. I thought it was going to go one direction, that she had lost a baby, like abortion, metaphor for abortion.
Yeah.
And then it's just that it basically mirrored what her son did.
Yeah.
Which is great, and I enjoyed it, and it was great. But
very universal in terms of family experience. Yeah, sure.
And it's just losing a son and getting him back, which is a great story. And even though it's a mother's story, it's a parent's story.
It's about parents, and it's either or. Yeah,
either or, because, Father's Day and everything today.
And you can also look at it from the perspective as a child who's like, oh, maybe I treated my parents shittily when I was growing up, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah,
I didn't appreciate
so
it.
So you, as a son, kind of daughter, reckon, yeah, go like,
Now, the amazing thing about it is that it's a pretty much, even though there's music, it's a silent film, dialogue free. It gets the whole thing across, this huge story across about a lifespan of a family without a single word uttered. Pretty incredible stuff there. I thought that was really good. So I enjoyed Bao, the short film, more than the incredible.
Those short films are
usually solid. Pretty good. They're usually pretty good. I didn't like the
volcano one.
The volcano one.
Why didn't you like that one?
Yeah, it was just a creepy one. It was weird. And then I, you know which one I thought was okay visually, but then it was kind of like a nothing, was the one with the bird and the water. What was that in front of Finding Dory? Like, the water looked incredible. It's like, holy shit, this looks amazing.
Yeah, Piper.
Their shorts are generally pretty good. So Incredibles,
actually, that is one thing I do have to say about The Incredibles. Like, the...
visually, it's...
visually,
oh, yeah, sure. It looks, like, beautiful. I mean, the
world that they were in, almost... yeah. They're this close to making it look real, Chris.
There was one scene that I just remember vividly.
Yeah.
In terms of how I lost myself for a second. When Mr. Incredible grabs Jack-Jack and grabs Dash... and then just walks up the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, my mind just went, like, because of the shadowing and everything
it's like
that.
Those
stairs are real. He's a real guy. Yeah. A real guy. Yeah. That's a real guy.
It's pretty incredible how they...
it's incredible, pun intended.
Oh, look at that. It's the work that they put into making some of those, the settings and, like, certain real-world things look real. It's pretty astounding.
Really close to it, like, just completely fooling me.
But yet the people, though, man.
Well, they'll never get that right.
They will one day.
No,
they will.
I don't think they ever will, and I think that's
technology,
for...
the way it grows exponentially.
It's the uncanny valley, sort
of. I think it's for our benefit, Chris.
It is for our benefit, for sure, that they don't get there, because once they do, we're screwed.
Yeah.
Talk about truth collapsing around us. Like, that's the end of truth, objective truth as we know it. But we're getting there, though. We're getting there.
Oh, yeah.
And then that's when I have to jump into the interdimensional mobile, and Drew will take us with him into the hellscape where all the monsters that he befriended.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You'll help us navigate the interdimensions.
I will.
But I wanted to say one more thing about The Incredibles.
Please do. I wish you would.
You don't mind being a human sacrifice, right?
No, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. I like it. I like being a human sacrifice.
Good. That's
that's what you wanted to say about The Incredibles? You like being a human sacrifice?
Yeah, it's very Jesus-y of me.
It is.
But just like Incredibles 1 is basically Watchmen and criticism of the superhero genre before that, when it comes to, like, what's our superheroes doing and everything like that.
Yeah.
So it's addressing all these superhero films that are coming out.
Sure.
This film is addressing other issues, like destroying everything, which Civil War did, basically, but...
with the Sokovia Accords.
With the Sokovia Accords and everything like that.
This one does it in one movie, though, as opposed to, like, building it up.
Builds it up, because I already kind of did in the first one, but it just adds... to that. And I think what I found intriguing about it was that it addressed it in a manner where it also talks about the power of media, and it's such a relevant issue right now with the whole scenario with the Trump presidency and everything like that, the power of media, that, you know, I'm not a fan of Trump in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
But there is one criticism that's true, that he says that media is biased, and it will, like, you see Fox News, you know exactly how they're going to react. You see MSNBC News, you know exactly how they're going to sell a story. So just seeing the power of media, and they go, like, how politicians use media to sell superheroes as a terrible scapegoat, and then the media mogul goes, like, no, I can use media to show how great you are.
The power of perception.
Absolutely. So I found it just intriguing overall that a film could address that. It was a very adult film.
But then it was weird how, so they bring all that into the story, but then that
the
part of the story,
weak.
The resolution didn't play into any of that. It was also the same way how they brought in all this Jack-Jack stuff, and he's like, all these powers, well, that's always Jack-Jack can see the day, Jack-Jack evolution.
He did boom boom.
He did fill his diaper, and
a couple of times.
When a movie goes to, like, pure scatological humor, like straight up scatological humor, I feel like that we're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
And I think that's the major flaw of the film. Its resolution is terribly weak.
It's pretty weak. Yeah,
it's terribly weak.
Just gonna happen. It's like, I don't. It's not doing it for me.
I found it great build up, great everything, but. The reason why some people have not liked it as much, I think it's because it did not resolve all the story threads that it built up.
Everything that it introduced, it feels like a few screenplay drafts too many. We mentioned sometimes, Drew, sometimes a screenplay could have used another pass.
Mm-hmm.
I think this one got passed a few too many times. Too many things have introduced, and then they erased the remnants of it, and it's like, it's not coming together.
It got wrote hard and put away wet.
It got wrote hard, put away wet, and then uploaded into a hard drive, and that hard drive got thrown into a river. So there you go, Incredibles 2 made a ton of money. It's not so much money for them. All right, here we go, Drew. New movies coming out this week on Divid: Pacific Rim: Uprising. Remember that one?
There was a colon.
It was a metal one.
That was very good.
Yeah, I vaguely remember it as well.
Vaguely.
So there you go. Paul, Apostle of Christ comes out on DVD this weekend. We all get it. That was one of three Christian exploitation movies that came out in a matter of like 2 weeks, right around Easter.
Okay.
So if you're just dying for your Paul movie.
With my Christian films, I actually like the historical.
Which is, that's what this one is.
Yeah, that's what that. So, you know, St. Paul and everything like that. Mm. I haven't seen it. But I don't like the Hallmark type.
The other ones, like what was the one that came
Courageous and things like that.
I can only imagine that was a huge one. That was one that made all the money this
God's
year.
Not real. God's not dead.
God's not dead.
That's my movie.
And God's Not Dead 3. There's three of them.
Yeah.
It's a trilogy.
There's a trilogy. Wow. But, you know, when it comes to Christian films like that, like, I can really enjoy the historical, biblical ones.
I want the Bible stuff,
yeah. Like, I like the Samson and Delilah's Ten Commandments.
I gotta watch that Samson movie that they made that came out this year.
Ten Commandments. Passion of the Christ, even though it's basically exploitation, I enjoyed it.
I love that movie. It's horrifying. I saw it once, never seen it.
Last Temptation of Christ.
Last Temptation of Christ. It's so good.
So good.
Unsane comes out. The Steven Soderbergh movie shot on the iPhone. We talked about that last week when Billy D did that for his Billy D stuff at the movies. And then The Death of Stalin, political satire.
I haven't seen it. Is it good?
It's supposed to be very good. I haven't seen either. Play the ensign here for a minute. And it's by the guy who did the show Veep. What's his name? Anthony and Ian Aliagi. A lot of hard Italian names to say in this episode of the show. Drew Sacogworn, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
For new movies coming out in theaters. What do you got? Almost got you.
Only thing coming out this weekend is Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
You looking forward to this at all?
No.
Neither am I.
Me neither.
What the hell? Not looking forward to it at all.
I wasn't looking forward to Jurassic World in the first place.
Me neither. I thought when it first came out, I was like, all right, let's give it a shot. This could be fun, and it wasn't that good.
I mean,
this one's like good.
I liked Bryce Dallas Howard because she looked very beautiful.
And Chris Pratt's good. I like Chris Pratt.
Yeah, and Chris Pratt. For those who like the ladies, you know, Miss Howard's there. And then for those who like the guys, Mr. Pratt is there. And they both look beautiful.
They both look good.
And for somebody like me who likes the ladies but also likes the Goldblum, he is there.
Everyone likes the Goldblum for this one. Yes, thank God for the Goldblum. The Goldblum. Drew, you ready for the Goldblum?
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
I am.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
You don't seem ready.
That's fine.
It just doesn't look like the marketing hasn't done it for you. Movies are all about marketing. Opening weekends are all about marketing. The marketing hasn't done it for me. I have no excitement for it whatsoever. If I wasn't doing a podcast about movies, I doubt I would go see it opening weekend, to be honest.
Yeah. I'm thinking about skipping it completely.
You're going to skip it anyway, Drew?
I'm thinking about it.
You're going to leave me alone to see this thing in a theater full of smelly people and take your shoes off?
I might make you watch it by yourself.
You're going to make me watch it by myself?
No.
How dare you?
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right. It's time for your prescription for life with Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew, take it away.
Chris, sometimes you just gotta give up. I mean, I never saw the last Hobbit movie. I might not see this Jurassic World movie. I'm seriously considering never watching another Star Wars movie ever again. I mean, every once in a while, you've got to put your foot down and say, enough is enough. And just give up completely. Cogburn out.
There you go. Well, Dr. Drew says give up. That is your prescription for life from the accredited doctor himself, accredited at the Dr. Drew School of Dr. Drewology.
Thank you, doctor.
Thank you, doctor.
You're welcome.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back with the second half of the show. We got a lot to talk about. Drew, you ready?
I am.
All right, Ed, you ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Hey guys, here is Chris, chilling in the studio. You know my voice by now, it's the middle of the episode. That intro makes no sense, but I'm here to tell you Orange Blossom Brewing is delicious, you know that too. What's the point of this commercial? You know Orange Blossom Pilsner's been around forever, and it's so good, and it's so great. It's made with honey. The honey gets fermented, so it's not sweet, it's delicious. And OBP 16-ounce cans available very soon on the market, if not already. If you find them, take some pictures and share them with us online. Let us know where you found them so we can go get some. Don't forget about that toasted coconut porter. It's a dark beer you can take to the beach. It's so good. But man, why am I telling you about this? You know this already. Just like that back in the day IPA. That American style, 90s style IPA. It's so good. You like just the right amount of hops. You get just that little bit of flavor. Not the little bit of flavor, the right amount of flavor. The flavor that's packed perfectly. It doesn't blow you away. It doesn't underwhelm you. It's right there in the middle. It's that sweet spot. It's that back in the day. IPA, the best stuff there is. Orange Blossom Brewing. They have great products. You can follow them on Instagram, OBPBuzz. Also follow them on Facebook, Orange Blossom Brewing Company. They're fantastic. We appreciate them. So buy us some, take some pictures, share them with us online. Enjoy.
We're adding a little something to this month's sales contest. As you all know, first prize is a Cadillac Eldorado. Anybody want to see second prize? Second prize, a set of steak knives. Third prize is you're fired. You get the picture? You laughing now? You got leads. Mitch and Murray paid good money. Get their names to sell them. You can't close the leads you're given. You can't close shit. You are shit. Hit the bricks, pal, and beat it, because you are going out.
The leads are weak.
The leads are weak. Fucking leads are weak. You're weak. I've been in this business 15 years.
What's your name?
Fuck you. That's my name. You know why, mister? Because you drove a Hyundai to get here tonight. I drove an $80,000 BMW. That's my name.
Ay, ay, ay. Arriba, andale, Mr. Gargbird, ahora, como esta, mi amigo?
No hablo escargar.
No hablo es...
Yo ando muy bien, mi amigo. ¿Cómo está usted?
Ah, claro que sí. Yes, that's right. Welcome to Cinema Chris Benicio. We're doing the second half now, episode 284. I am hanging out with Jessica Green, Drew,
Chris,
and Eddie Rodriguez. Eddie,
how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. We're having a good time. We're hanging out. Just a reminder, this episode brought to you by... What was your company, Drew? Drewco?
Drewco LLC.
Drewco LLC.
We.
A subsidiary of...
We.make.things.
There you go.
Do you make dots too, or that's
it's a thing? If it's a thing, we make it. We make things. Okay.
You know how when you go to business school and they talk about widgets, he makes those widgets for the business schools.
You know that reminds me. We make things. You know, it's like Lord Zedd from Power Rangers when he says he's the emperor of all you see. So if you're tapping ass, you see that ass.
He's the emperor.
So you see it. That means he's the emperor of that ass.
There you go. That reminds me of Emperor Zoidberg when he went, at last, I'm useful.
At last, I'm useful.
Juicy Chicago, where can people find your line?
At Antihero 419, some places on the internet.
Damn, straight hit him up. All right, Eddie, where can people find you online?
Well, like I said before, if you see the Simon Says tribute game, I don't give my personal accounts simply because I'm a teacher, so I like to keep it separate.
Sure.
But you can check me out in the Second Rounds podcast, ladies and gentlemen. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook. And you can also find us on the Podcast City Network. podcastcitynetwork.net, where you can find shows like the Everett Lee Show and the Chris Carnes Show and the Florida edition of the Second Rounds and the New York edition of the Second Rounds.
All right, very cool. And so what are you doing these days? You got the Who You Got competition. You said the R&B one. Is that one done already?
That one's done. We have... So what made the Second Rounds famous was the Who You Got Challenge. The Who You Got Challenge, like I said, was an NCAA bracket-style tournament where we pick characters, usually characters, and face them off in a challenge. Now, what we decided to do for last week's episode was create an R&B one just to make things a little bit different because we talk about pop culture in general.
Yeah, why not?
And but it was a mini Who You Got because what we do is mm-hmm. we pick our characters and mm-hmm. then after they win, they go to a con.
Okay.
And then the people, the vendors and the cosplayers.
You go around, work. Yeah. So if you follow these guys on Instagram, you can see the videos that you guys put out asking these questions.
So, but in this case, it was simply picking the last two, which ended up being Michael Jackson and Prince. Mm-hmm. And now the audience has to decide. So where can you find us? You can go to the Who You Got group page on Facebook.
There you go.
And you can vote who is the better R&B artist, ooh. Michael Jackson or Prince.
Ooh, I'm gonna go with you know, one of those guys doesn't have even an ounce of accusation around him regarding child molestation or adult animal abuse. So I'm gonna go with Prince. Drew, how about you?
Sure.
All right, that's Super Prince. Put us down, Eddie. It's two for Prince.
There you go. There you go. Woo!
We each got our own air horn, Drew.
I hate air horns, Chris.
I know, that's why you got your own.
Thanks.
So you can enjoy it more.
You know what was really funny? in one of the challenges in the R&B, and you can check it out. You can also check us out on Spotify and any Podbean and all the rest.
Sure, yeah.
There was a moment because Chris Brown was part of the challengers, and mm-hmm. Chris Brown... And Michael Jackson faced up. No, and R. Kelly faced up.
Oh my God. Can you just burn down an entire bracket? Oh, Lord. That's funny how that works out.
Oh, it was hilarious.
Oof.
It was fun.
That's oof magoof stuff right there. That's hysterical. That's good stuff. So here you go, people. Get online. Join the Facebook group. Vote. Prince versus Michael Jackson, and then check out the show, listen, and enjoy the show with Eddie and Tommy and Ashley.
Definitely.
Ashley's going to be a guest on our show next week, so that's going to be
awesome. And she's her dark charisma will ooze.
Oozing dark charisma. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
We'll make sure to wear I'll wear my cleats. Okay.
Depends on her good side. No, I love her. She is amazing. So
we got the time. It's going to be a lot of fun next week. All right, so here we go. I got to finish my plugs. Cinema Crespi. So on Instagram, and join the Facebook group, and email us at cinemacrespi@gmail.com, and on the Twitter at Crespi. So on stuff. PFTmedia.com, and there's all the shows, Chris, like later up to
you should have just done trivia. Like I did, just one name.
I know.
For everything.
And then there's the Devils in Details and Poking the Bear on the Scotch Beer Station.
And oh my God. Don't forget about tidbits, Chris.
I'm so tired. I go to bed till 2 in the morning. I was up kind of early.
Summertime trivia show.
I was like watching The Flash, but not really. Like 3 episodes went by and I realized I really wasn't watching. I was like, wait, this guy's walking now.
Cinema Crespi does some bonus episodes.
Oh my God, guys. I just woke up. Cinema Crespi, so bonus episode with Soul Brother Kevin. Guys, check out. We just released it yesterday. You're going to have to go back one episode from this one. It's called Catching Up with Kevin. That 45 minutes went by fast. It was Drew, me, Nick the Chameleon himself, Nick Sharaba. We were hanging out with SBK, his first time in this studio since 2015, since he moved to the West Coast. And we had a great time talking to SBK. He's one of our best friends. And we
love him. Previous Overlord.
Wow. Previous Overlord Kevin. Shout out to Kevin. We love you. He's our homie. We did a great episode with him yesterday, so people check that out. And then keep an ear out for 4 brand new episodes of SBK Live.
And don't forget about SBK Talking
Shit. That may be bonus episodes for SBK Live. We don't know.
I don't know what that was.
There are a bunch of shows here, and like I'm jotting them down in my brain right now.
So many. Oh my God. Just
listen to them, ladies and gentlemen.
Go to pftmedia.com. They're all right there.
Most of them are right there. SBK Live stuff obviously be separate.
You just need 2 things. PFT Media and Podcast City Network.
There you go. That's all you need to know, people. So many shows to check out. There is just, quite frankly, way too much content. Drew knows about slinging that tent. He's slinging that tent.
I hate it when you call it
that. Hey, Drew, he's slinging that tent.
It's so weird.
Hey, Drew's a cock when he's slinging some of that tent.
It's oddly
true. Drew, I got all that tent. He
went to a different hole now.
A different hole? I thought there was only one. I don't know about the second hole. I can't get him out of that one. I have not struck any accords with any dark beings from that second hole.
Oh my gosh. Wow, that was a crazy dimensional hole.
What was in there, Chris?
I don't know, but everything was full of helium.
That's it.
It's a helium
dimension? It was a helium hole.
It's kind of lame.
Well, you're the one who opened it.
I didn't. It's, no such thing.
It's part of the interdimensional gateway.
So it's a holy helium hole?
It's a
hole. It's a Triple H hole.
It's a Triple H hole. Oh, it's Drew's Triple H hole. Drew, why'd you open up the Triple H hole?
That doesn't sound right.
Well, you're the one who brought it here.
I didn't.
That's what happens when you befriend the interdimensional beast.
I did no such thing.
You haven't seen Legion yet, have you? It's the second season. You learn a lot about what happens when you befriend underground beasts.
The great thing about the helium gods of that dimension is that, you know, they do answer back, but they do answer in the most annoying voice possible. So it's just
like, hey, what's up? What's up?
God damn it. He's like, oh, leave me alone, you interdimensional son of a bitch. Drew, let's start with...
Whoa, this is heavy.
Billy D's Death of the
Movies. There's that word again. Heavy.
Here's his intro.
Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull?
Play it right now.
What?
Ow! You're metal, dude! We're totally gonna kill you now.
That's right, it's time for Billy D's Death of the Movies. You can have Billy D on Twitter at I Love What, as well as other places on the internet. He also has Billy D snaps, picks, etc., etc. Cheers, guy. We're gonna take it away. What do you got?
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy D?
Had an awesome week up here. Cool. Our relentless apartment nightmare has finally come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Total relief. I caught a showing of A Quiet Place in an empty theater up here, and it was amazing. Almost glad I slept on this till now. I really loved the atmosphere that silence creates in that film. It was really well acted and executed, just terrific all around. Sure, I wanted to see more, but then I realized that A Quiet Place wasn't interested in becoming that kind of film, and I was satisfied with the story it told. Great job, can't wait to watch it at home. Stay cool, Billy D.
Oh man, that's funny. When did A Quiet Place come out now? 2 months ago?
Yeah.
It's been a while since it came out.
Nope.
Nah, you almost said it this time. Mm. Did you see A Quiet Place?
It was great.
It's very, but considering how different it is and its approach... It's very well liked, I found. Yeah, which is, I guess, a testament to how well made it is, right? It's a good movie.
I agree. It's just the film itself, just original premise. Not that original, but original.
An original approach.
Silence
and stuff. Yes.
Original approach. That's exactly what I'm trying to think.
Yeah, it was good.
The birthing scene was just...
Oof. Yeah, that was something else.
That was an intense scene. Yeah. Movies should have more... More movies should end in funerals. More movies should start with weddings, end with funerals, and more movies should have birth scenes and involve monsters somehow. Either birth scenes or abortion scenes. I'm thinking of Prometheus specifically.
Which just brings three weddings and a funeral to a whole nother level.
Right, yeah. That's why it's so good.
That's the greatest film of all time.
If it had a monster abortion or a birth under duress, either like Children of Men, birth under duress, Apocalypto, birth under duress.
Yep. It does. Yeah. There's a secret deleted scene where Hugh Grant is revealed to be a satanic priest. And he
it was deleted though.
It was deleted because it was too racy for that.
There you go. Gozu, demonic birth. There he goes. That's why.
Yeah.
Takeshimiki's Gozu. Yeah. Gotta have one of these things. One if you have them all.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous.
Vox Populi. Populi. Vox Populi.
Yeah, that's right. You see something and then you email us, cinemacrispyso@gmail.com, and then Drew, read them. Drew, take it away.
We got an email from Ron.
What's up, Ron?
Ron Swanson?
Ron Swanson, yes. Big black gay Ron Swanson. If Ron Swanson was a handsome gay black man, big gay black bear, it would be our homie Ron. We love Ron. He's the best.
I am currently watching Beach Rats on Hulu.
Beach Rats? Okay, yeah, I know this one.
I don't.
You don't? It's,
Well, we will learn.
Ron's about to tell
us. We will learn.
It's part of Pride Month for him.
In my undies, sick. But they're showing dick and tits on Hulu. Who knew? Anyway, I think there's a place for gay cinema. So I am going to catch up on a couple and post about them on Facebook.
Okay.
But this one is a modern take on a confused young man in NYC and dealing with his own sense of worth and masculinity.
Hmm.
People always compare being black to being gay, where there is both equal hard in this America.
Hmm.
But they can't be fighting against themselves. These movies give examples of what struggles and joys each culture can have. Oh, and The Incredibles was dope. I want to see Tag as well. Maybe if I can get out of bed. Ugh, being sick sucks.
Oh, Ron, we're sorry to hear that you're sick, buddy. That does suck. He did post a good thing on our Facebook group, our CinemaCrest Facebook group, about Pride Month. Mm-hmm. Which cool. I was like, oh, shit, it's Pride Month. And then it was about good gay movies, and then people get like a whole list. The comment section went crazy. What's with good gay movies.
What's your favorite, quote-unquote, gay
like film? A gay movie, like gay cinema? Man, of recent years, Moonlight is like wildly good.
Moonlight is probably, it sticks out, but my guilty pleasure, and I really enjoy it, Tu Wong Fu.
Of course. But yeah, Tu Wong Fu, Billy Dee hit up, he mentioned Tu Wong Fu, yeah. Is that gay, or is that trans, or is it just cross-dressing?
I'll just put it part of the LGBT
community. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Since it's a Pride Month, LGBT.
They all have.
I know it starts with L and ends with Q.
The A to Z community, because they have all the letters in the alphabet.
They put them all in there. There you go.
We'll put asexual, so that's A.
Yeah.
B, bisexual.
Q really feels like it covers a lot of stuff. Pansexual is like, look, I just had this.
They love things. Bread.
Pansexual. I mean, soy un pansexual.
I joked around about that. Somebody said, like, that's not funny. I go, like, that is very funny.
Actually, it's quite, it's quite funny. It's not making fun of me. Once it was very funny. Call Me By Your Name is actually a great Pride movie, I think, because it's about, you know, coming to terms.
Yes.
With, at a very young age, during a coming of age type of story. Like, well, am I straight? Am I gay? Like, I'm fucking a girl, but I'm also going to fuck this dude. Like, I kind of like them both. Yeah. It's also Italy, which is very, it's 80s Italy, which is like not gay friendly. Countryside 80s Italy? No. Luca Guadagnino, whatever his name is, knows a lot about that. That's part of the reason why he made the movie. It's like, this book really speaks to me. Beach Rats. It's the one that I remember when it came out and played festivals. Not this year, but last year.
Oh.
It was one where people were like, they were kind of expecting more from it. And then when it played, they were disappointed that it was a lot more male-gazy than they wanted. I don't know. It was...
Yeah,
maybe a somewhat problematic thing, but he didn't seem to mind it. Ron seemed to like it, but he's also ill, so maybe his brain is on fire. And it's
I mean, he said tits and dicks
on Hulu.
Yeah,
that's not surprising. Is that surprising?
I don't know. Is it?
Has he seen Sensei?
Sensei's Netflix.
I was about to say, yeah.
Oh, Hulu. No, yeah, Hulu. But Hulu. Yeah, Hulu has.
Yeah, Hulu has movies.
Yeah, and a bunch of them are.
And Handmaid's Tale, right? There's tits and on the right.
There was a really racy anime that I was seeing because it was a fantasy selection that so I went, oh, this seems fun.
Yeah.
And then it was just like.
Anime porn?
It wasn't hentai, but it was close to it.
It wasn't that Iritsuki Doji? God damn, I keep forgetting the name of that.
There was no. It was not
tentacle porn. The giant penis monster movie.
Oh, yeah. Giant penis.
But it was, okay. I don't even remember the name, but when I was watching it, it's literally like she's a demon and they fight fallen angels and things like that. And then but then when they transform, like all their body is revealed and it's very sexual. And I'm going like,
that's a, I know this one. I know that. That's Sex in the City 2.
That's what that one is. Yes, exactly.
That was that one. Yes. Yeah. And then they take off their skin and it's like, oh, they're beautiful horses the whole time. Magical horse.
Sarah Jessica Parker is a beautiful horse.
She is. All of them, actually. That's the secret. They all are. Kim Cattrall is a stallion of epic proportions. That sounds interesting. Yeah, well, some of those fantasy anime.
Because that's the genre I usually go to. Okay. So I went like, oh, this is a fantasy anime. I went like, let's see if it's good.
And then it got mad sexy on you.
And I went like, no, thank you.
You're like, fantasy, here you go. And then it was all like, hey, look at all these tits. You're like, well, I just wanted some dragons.
You go like, here's some demons and some titties. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So I don't need the demon fucking. They get really big into demon fucking.
Tits and dragons? That could be like a whole new...
Well, that's heavy metal.
I was about to say, yeah, actually, you're right. Heavy metal, yeah. And heavy metal 2000, which was nowhere near as good.
They've been trying to make a new heavy metal for a while now. David Fincher has been trying to produce
it. The magazine's is pretty good.
But it's heavy metal is so 80s.
Well, yeah, you got to make it in that style, though. Yeah. But the 80s has come back around. But now we've got past 80s, now it's 90s. Yeah. So.
Have you read the magazine?
Yeah.
I love it. Grant Morrison has a stint as editor there.
Oh, really?
And Grant Morrison, if you don't know, he's one of the greatest comic book writers right now. Mm-hmm. And it's just great.
Grant Morrison's been kicking around for a while now.
Oh, he's part of that British wave that came with Neil Gaiman and Alan Moore are probably more popular, but I would say Grant Morrison's more consistent
He's stuck to comic books more. Neil Gaiman ventured more into
novels, and Alan Moore got crazy.
Alan Moore is a wizard.
He's like, I'm a wizard now, and I hate everything people do with my work.
Exactly.
It's like, thanks.
I'm a wizard, and I worship the god Glaucon.
But they did get him to an episode of The Simpsons, so that was cool. They're like, will you sign my copy of Watchmen Babies and Viva? In Viva Vacation. Oh, my God, that was so fun. That was really good. Shout out to The Simpsons. They need the help.
Yeah, they do. Of course they do.
Yeah, they need the promotion.
Speaking of fantasy and The Simpsons, you know, Matt Groening's got that new fantasy
is
cartoon
it a show?
Coming out.
Yeah. That's cool.
Oh, really? I haven't seen
it. It's fantasy based.
Is it so, like, Fox?
Yeah. So, you obviously. Know, think Futurama, but with wizards and elves and shit.
Oh, that's fun.
Hopefully that'd be cool. I like Matt Groening.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Ron. We appreciate it, buddy. What else we got in the Fox Populi?
We got an email from Gabe.
What's up, Gabe?
The subject is vote Lewis Brinson to the All-Star Game.
There you go.
Whoever that is.
NBA All-Star NBA. Game.
Don't know.
Plays for the Miami Heat.
Okay.
Yep. I assume because Gabe was in Miami.
What up, show?
What's up, Gabe?
He's got an upgrade review.
What's up, Gabe?
Upgrade. This is Logan Marshall's Venom. Acting was good enough.
Yeah.
Decent twist, but with a lot of plot holes. Mm. Solid fighting with some gruesome results.
Yeah.
Entertaining, but wait if you'd like. Deadpool 2.
No, wait, we're going to Deadpool?
Yep.
All right, first off, real quick, I saw Upgrade. Did I mention on the show?
No. I saw Upgrade.
You saw it too? You saw Upgrade 2? They already came out with a sequel?
Yep.
It's called Venom.
It is called Venom. Why did they change it? We got more money now, so we got Tom Hardy. But we asked him to do a terrible American accent. I saw Upgrade because a lot of people hit me up on the Twitters that they saw for the Crespo Hundo. And like, this is actually a really good movie. And some people were like, I love it. I think Ron loved it. So I want to use my movie pass. I want to throw that out there. I use MoviePass. That helps with your expectations.
So for a dollar.
So for essentially less than that, I went and saw Upgrade. The first 15 minutes of the movie is a bummer. Yeah. It's a strong bummer, the setup of the movie. The setup of the movie is that his wife gets murdered in front of him.
The blue Mystic Power Ranger dies. She was the blue Mystic Power Ranger.
So the blue Mystic Power Ranger dies in front of her.
That's got pissed off.
In front of not Tom Hardy.
Yeah, not Tom Hardy.
And then not Tom Hardy is left to quadriplegic. So then he's like, but he's alive. So then he has to, like, here's his wheelchair. His mom's trying to help him. He's very depressed, obviously. His girlfriend's dead. And the first 15 minutes really drives home this, like, his hopelessness and his bad situation. And to the point where I'm like, is this movie going to get fun at any point? Because this is really fucking, it's a Monday night, this is bumming me out.
Yeah.
And then finally, the conceit of the movie, a crazy Steve Jobs type character comes up to him with a chip that's like, this computer chip, we attach it to your spine, and you'll be fixed, and then it's the whole, it'll help you get revenge. And so from that point forward, then the movie did become more fun.
Yeah.
And I did enjoy it. I thought it was good. But not great. What did you think?
I think the only great aspect of it is that it's a blockbuster film that's different. And that's the great aspect of it. Yeah. Although I agree that as a film, it's just good.
Yeah, it's just
but
good.
When I went to the film, I was like, finally, like a good blockbuster film. That's not anything.
It's like a nice mid-range adult movie that gets made for adults for sure. But it puts some money into it, but not too much, you know. But like, it still has some cool production design, some cool
the handguns.
Okay, maybe my favorite part, Drew, is the biomechanical stuff that's in this movie.
Bioengineering.
Very Cronenberg, so, like, new fleshy. Tetsuo, Videodrome.
Yeah.
It has a touch of that stuff in there, which is very interesting.
Which is funny when you say it, because when I see the film, it's basically, if you want to summarize it without spoiling anything, it's iRobot, Death Wish, and Videodrome.
Yeah.
All mixed into one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so I like two of those movies.
But I would say, though, not as great as that three combination could have been. Like, it's good.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, like, reach that transcendent level of, oh my God, this movie is
I do join you in that warning.
Yeah,
like,
cool, it's fun.
It's darn good. It's really enjoyable.
Some of the bits of violence, that they're, like, quick, but gruesome, like, whoa. I'm thinking specifically that first guy he kills with the knife.
Yeah.
And when that happened, there's some people in the theater I was with, and we all went, whoa. Everyone in the theater was like, whoa. Because it happens like 40 minutes in.
Yeah.
So there's no precedent for it. The actual violence on that level. And then when it happens, you're like, oh my God.
And I agree. And the surgery of it. And
the surgery is cool. The very real looking, the cutting of the flesh.
This is fun.
Some good effects.
I was like, this is gory and fun and everything like that. But again, predictable.
In some ways.
In some ways.
I felt like I was ahead of it. Same. But then towards the end, I realized I wasn't exactly 100% ahead of it, but I was like almost there.
I was ahead of it.
There's like a little extra twist. I was like, oh, okay, but yeah,
the extra
I get it.
Twist, I don't want to spoil
it. I know exactly. No spoilers, but...
But the scene in the car...
Yes.
At almost the end...
Yeah.
I jumped ahead to the end of the film.
And then you realize what was happening later. Oh, okay, yeah, sure. But it came late, though.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So, you realize what's happening, but it came pretty close to the end.
Yeah, so yeah. I went... so I got it.
Wait, you gonna hit this thing on the show and then I'll pass it around? What,
I can't. It's mine. I can do what I want with it.
That's my show. I can do what I want.
Yep.
Deadpool 2 review. Still butthurt about the lame-ass title, but this movie is just as clever and self-deprecating as the first. Pennywise? I don't understand why that's even in there. It doesn't make any sense.
It delivers... Bill Skarsgård. Because he's so handsome, you don't realize that when he's not in the makeup and the crazy eyeballs.
It delivers with the fun and somehow throws in sentiment at the end. The writing and pacing is just good, y'all. See it immediately if you haven't.
Alright. Sounds like a big fan. See it immediately?
Immediately.
Like, do you feel like Deadpool 2 is a see it immediately type movie?
Yes.
Do you?
Deadpool 2?
Deadpool 2.
I'm gonna rip you in half.
That was a great scene. A great moment. And that's the thing.
Strictly
I feel like
for that moment, you need to see that movie immediately.
When the movie was over, I didn't... I wanted to fall in love with Deadpool 2, and I was like, I like it a lot, but I'm not going to be like, run out. You must go see this movie. As opposed to the first one, I felt like it was kind of revolutionary in the way that the movie was approached. I was like, you should go see this movie. Deadpool 2 is out. I'm like, yeah, go see it. It's a weird thing. It's an expectations thing. Now that we've seen Deadpool, and Deadpool 2 comes around, now we have more frame of reference. Yeah.
I think, and this speaks to... the film itself and the character itself, because the comic, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Deadpool is really good as a supporting character, in my opinion, not as a protagonist.
Okay.
Because a solo outing like a film like that, or a solo miniseries in the comics is fun, because you go like, oh, this is like, this is really entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
But how can you sustain that? Issue through issue, it wears off.
Okay, so the Deadpool character did start out as
a parody of Deathstroke,
and then I was gonna say as a side character in other books. Right?
Yes,
it took him a while before he got his own line of books.
And even when he did become a main character, he was always paired with somebody for the longest time.
Yeah, you never leave him alone.
Barely ever.
Because part of the fun of Deadpool is how he interacts with these established comic book characters
and usually very serious characters. Like, usually the characters he's paired up with is Wolverine and Cable.
Well, no, exactly.
So which people take themselves too seriously so that he can deflate them.
Uh-huh.
But then one of the most legendary, if I'm not correct, correct me if I'm wrong, one of the most legendary Deadpool pairings, is it not Deadpool and Spider-Man?
Which is
currently going on.
It's just currently going on is what's happening. Okay.
So it's really
why it's coming into mind.
It's really good.
Because Peter Parker, they're both like, I feel like two smart, snarky, mouthy dudes.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the fun of that. Yeah. But in a different way. It's like how Avengers Infinity War, one of the best pairings is Tony Stark and Doctor Strange.
Yes.
Because they're practically the same person.
And same genius level. Even though on different fields.
Yes, exactly. So then they're...
it's just
like magnetic poles are the same, so they're repelling each other.
But,
so it's like the sparks of when they're trying to...
But at the same time, Doctor Strange's ego has been checked. Tony Stark hasn't had that yet. on a spiritual level.
On a spiritual level, yeah.
No, I agree.
He has now. Yeah. As of the end of this one. Like, correct. Mr. Stark, if you're so well, he's been checked now.
Yeah.
I'm I want this Avengers movie to come out now. We mentioned on the show... But it's looking like it's not the events of Avengers 4, the next one, not picking up immediately after Infinity War.
Really?
Yeah, it's going to be like a decade later. You know how we know? This is verifiable information for anyone. You want to call a spoiler or not? I don't think it's a spoiler because you can just go to IMDb. The character that plays Ant-Man's daughter, she's a little kid in Ant-Man, and in Ant-Man and the Wasp, she's a little kid. That character is being played by a teenager in Avengers 4.
Oh. Unless mm-hmm. it's time travel.
Time travel. There have been reports of the longest time of them recreating scenes with their actors from Civil War, Avengers, the first Avengers, and Captain America, the first Avenger. Yeah. They recreated stuff. Also, there's
well, if you see the core characters that remained
the ones alive, that are still alive, yeah.
are the ones from the first Avengers.
Very interesting. And also, Gwyneth Paltrow let's slip in an interview
the son thing
about having a kid.
Yeah,
yes, which they mentioned briefly in Infinity War. He's like, I want a kid, and then she's like in an interview, and now we have a kid because they film both movies back to back, and she doesn't watch these movies, so she doesn't know how they fit together.
She's kind of
so like, she's just out there doing her public press thing.
She called her kid Apple, so yeah, she doesn't know much.
She runs a company called Goop, so I mean, yeah, she got her some stack. She's a pretty blonde. Let her do that. She was in Seven. Come on, her head was in a box. Did you see her Halloween costume when she had her head in a box?
That was hilarious.
That was fun.
It was the greatest thing ever.
For all the shit things she does and says, when she does that, I'm like, I like you again.
Yeah, no, exactly.
You're fantastic. I appreciate Rennie. You.
Gwen, and you. Last but certainly not least,
I can't wait for Royal Tenenbaums 2. It's going to be so good.
Hereditary.
They're going to do a Gene Hackman hologram because he's retired. Hereditary. Oh, hey, so we're still doing reviews. Right, yes. Here we go.
If The Witch and It Comes at Night had a baby, it would be this movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There are some gross things, but I appreciate this well-made psychological thriller. No cheap jump scares. Just some good old wholesome tense horror.
Yeah.
You will not know what happens next. See it.
There you go. Yeah, Hereditary. I enjoyed it.
It's really good.
It's definitely.
I don't want to spoil it or.
Yeah, no spoilers. And we didn't even do a bonus episode for it, right? It's just go see it.
Just go see it.
I would say this, though.
Yeah.
Expect old school horror in a way.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
That was exactly what I said. Resolution baby. And everything.
Yes, exactly. The audience expectation. What I'm by that I mean, what is expected of you as an audience member?
You're not going to jump that much.
Yeah, no, you're not. But the jumps that are there are good. Yeah. A small handful of jumps are good, but it's mostly the tension, the building,
and
the dread.
It's mostly, I would call it, the creepiest film in a while.
Yes. It was. Get Out was probably the creepiest movie in a while just because of the subject matter. Yeah. But this one is like the creeping dread of the film, the atmosphere, the overall oppression of something bad is happening and I don't know what it is.
Things like that.
Yeah, that's why that kind of atmosphere is why I compare it to. Not so much in content, but in terms of just the style of the movie, I compare it to Rosemary's Baby.
I was going
to
say, yeah.
The Shining. There's some moments where, like, visually, I was like, oh, you're sure we're calling
even The Exorcist a little bit.
And The Exorcist is a third
movie. Even The Exorcist, to a lesser extent, but.
Just the way the build-up. It takes its time.
To me, The Exorcist its characters. Is creepy. And you know what's funny? I saw it as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't scared too much by it. Saw it as an adult, and I got even more scared.
Yeah, because it's... Because
I get the underpinnings of it.
Yeah.
And I got the mother's... Because
you understand the mother's concern.
And then you go like... Is it really made up or something
that? Yeah.
Jesus, this is
crazy. Things don't think about it. Because you need the life experience for those things to then be truly scary. That's exactly right.
Because my sister has epilepsy, and I'm 14 years older than her.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So when I saw it, I'm like, geez,
So now you're realizing, oh, my God, yeah. You can see how that can play out in a real-world scenario. Yeah. William Friedkin's become The Exorcist. He did a documentary called The Devil and Brother of Marth or something like that. And there's the Vatican has... I don't know if he's with the Vatican or if he's just the dude that the Vatican calls.
An associate.
He is an associate
of
the Vatican.
He's Constantine.
But he's the exorcist. He's the one that whenever there's a problem in Italy, he goes out there and he exorcises people. And first he allowed William Friedkin to interview him. And then he was like, I have an exorcism coming up. He's like, will you let me film it? And Friedkin, like, walks into the room with the camera, and they film it, and then they present it in a movie, like, as, like, one take. This is what happened in the room of a real exorcism, a real-life exorcism. Like, I don't know if you believe in that kind of stuff, Drew, but it's like, this is actually the process of it happening and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's just interesting.
Yeah, I want to see that movie. I don't think it's available on streaming yet. That was Gabe?
Yep.
Thanks, Gabe. What else we got?
Email from Scott.
What's up, Scott?
He's got Tag and Incredibles 2 reviews.
All right, Tag. Jeremy Renner breaks both his arms. Here we go.
Tag. First off, this is Jeremy Renner's greatest action performance.
Oh, my God.
Not the Bourne movie. Not any of his Marvel shit. This stupid slapstick comedy shows the very best of Renner as an action hero.
Incredible.
I'm way more afraid of this guy, Jerry Pierce, than I am of Hawkeye, or even Aaron Cross. Okay, maybe this character in The Town was scarier.
Oh, The Town, yeah.
But only because that dude was a fucking sociopath.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that guy was fucked up.
It's crazy how seriously they treated such a ridiculous but true premise. Mm-hmm. But it really, really worked. It was just so funny watching this cast of dudes get the shit kicked out of them over a dumb game. Mm-hmm. Though I am a bit torn on the notion of grown men playing this game, while the women in their lives are portrayed as 150% cool with it. I guess the female reporter character is good being neutral, the audience avatar, because she's just following the story as a journalist. Mm-hmm. But the rest of the women, I mean, I get supporting your man, but come on, be women, save us from ourselves. But hey, this is all based on a true story, so maybe the portrayal of women is somewhat accurate to the real people. Who knows? And then it all ends on a surprisingly heartfelt note. That is to say, it was foreshadowed by the line of dialogue that I picked up on early in the movie, so I wasn't surprised. But for the overall tone of the movie, it was certainly unexpected and it was executed quite well. Okay. Sweet little heartstring tug. Then the credits show videos and photos of the real man children who played this moronic game. Mm. It made for a nice coda.
Oh, okay.
3 stars.
All right, so Scott liked Tag. Yeah. All
right, I just have to say the one thing about the review. I think it was more for marketing purposes, not to create stereotypical women.
Yeah.
Because as somebody who's about to get married soon, not when yet, but soon, I can tell you that the slightest, stupidest thing you do will be ridiculed.
Will be checked.
And will be put in check.
There you go.
So something as ridiculous as that, they're probably, maybe now at older, they go like, yeah, you
let,
do
let
thing.
Them do their tag
for
thing.
The first 5 years, probably, or as they were meeting each other, it's like,
There must have been a time period there was a problem.
What you doing? Like,
yeah. You guys are grown-ups, right?
That's ignorant, yeah.
You're playing tag, you should have a 401k.
Yep.
Yeah, you got this wrong.
Now, they're not complaining because they got a movie base and they got royalties.
They
got
paid off, especially their pictures are at the end. They got their 6 figures to tell their stupid story. So, joke's on us. Our stupid story didn't get 6 figures.
Nope.
We put it out there for free every week in an effort to sling tent. What else does Scott have?
Incredibles 2 review.
Let's see what he says about Incredibles.
The original might well very be one of my number one favorite Pixar movie.
Whoa.
Sure, there's an ever-rotating top five in my head based on my mood on any given day.
Sure.
But I don't think Incredibles ever falls below number 2 at any moment. So yeah, I've been waiting for this sequel for 14 years.
So those are then high expectations.
Yes.
And it was good. I enjoyed it a lot. But it just never struck that chord in my soul that the best of the best Pixar movies do. I'm sure that Inside Out 2, Up 2, or Wall-E 2 would run into the same problem of not living up to its original. Mm-hmm. Though Toy Story 3 definitely proved it can be done.
And 2.
The best parts of the movie are its action sequences. They're truly thrilling. I was going to say for animated fare just now, but then I realized that like 90% of action sequences nowadays are computer-generated
CG.
Animated
fare. Yeah, sure.
So,
yeah, makes sense.
I'll say the intensity and choreography of multi-character, multi-superpower action sequences are as good as and even surpass most live-action stuff. And the other highlight of this burgeoning powers of Jack-Jack. This kid is so much fun. Little man has a fight with a raccoon, and the rematch might be worthy of a $500 million pay-per-view event. But what it lacks is the heart of the original. Even though it picks up precisely where the original left off, the dramatic family tension isn't nearly as raw as it was before. There is no I can't lose you again moment. Everyone is a little bit too comfortable with the new family dynamic, but it was the discomfort that made the original such a profound family drama. A Pixar icon. 3 stars. Take care, guys. Scott.
I kind of get where he's going for, but the one part I disagree is that you can't recreate the tension of the first film because the first film resolved that tension. There are new tensions.
Yeah, you can say that you can recreate it. But
just so with a different tension.
With a
different tension level.
Yeah, sure, that's what you're saying. But I think what he's saying is that the second movie doesn't have the same amount of... Even though it's a different setup, like the dramatics and the feel as strong.
But I agree definitely that the feels are not there.
Not the same way.
They're not there.
Not the same way. Maybe it's just a matter of the first time around was fresh and new, and now it's we're expecting. Same thing with Deadpool 2. First time was fresh and cool, and now the second time was like, oh, this is fun. This is what I was expecting, I guess. Yeah. There you go. I'll give you that. Thanks, Scott. We appreciate it, buddy. That's it for Vox Populi. Let's get into the movie news.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about navigating the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently, Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beans?
That's right, time for the Cinema Crust Buddy Show Movie News segment, the most important segment in all of podcasting, and this is where we talk about that movie news. Shoots a Cogburn.
Chris.
I'm just doing something here. I'm just sticking stuff there.
Should I call you Topher?
Topher, that's me. I'm Topher. Topher Crespo. Here we go. Time for the Cinema Crust Buddy Show Movie News update. We need a Justin Bieber update. Eddie, what's going on with the Biebs, buddy? Do you know?
He's Bieber.
He's beeping around.
And he's beeping around, and I don't know anything. I try to not to follow people I hate.
Oh, okay.
Wow. So hate's a strong word.
He says, screw that hate. I'm out of that hate. The hate is done. Oh, that's fine enough. Here we go. Well, then, that's your beeper update. Don't follow people you hate. Movie news. I'm just going to do one story here. Someone asked in our Facebook group, shout outs to Bobby Corbett, the Bits. Bobby's a good dude. I have no idea if he actually...
Called the Bits?
Well, because there's two of them. It's him and his wife, Maura.
So she's Eddie, and he's Bits? So it's Eddie Bits?
So it's Corbett. It's Bobby Corbett, Maura Corbett. They are the Bits. The two of them together. But Bobby had the question in the Facebook group, so I'm going to answer it now. I don't know if he listens to the show. He might not. He might just be like, that's a possibility. That happens.
The Bits.
But here we go. You wanted to know what our thoughts of, or the adult cast for It 2.
Ooh, I want to hear that.
Too. So here we go.
Cast.
I haven't even been paying attention to it. I was actually waiting for the cast to be complete, and I think it is now. So I pulled it up. Here we go. Let's see what you guys think. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Pennywise will still be played by Bill Skarsgård.
I think good.
They didn't change that. So that's probably a good call. Probably mm-hmm. good call.
I mean, they could have got...
Main character, probably best part of the movie?
They could have gotten Stellan.
I can make a very not correct joke right now.
You could. We're going to move on. Here we go. Bill. The character was the brother, the older brother, the main white kid.
Yeah.
Adult version to be played by James McAvoy.
Do we have side by side pictures?
James McAvoy.
I think that's
okay. Yeah.
James McAvoy.
That's what I was gonna say. I think that's perfect.
Yeah, that works.
So. I like McAvoy. I'm a McAvoy fan. I'm a fan of Boy.
You're a fanboy.
Fanboy McAvoy. McAvoy fanboy. Beverly, the redhead.
Mm-hmm.
Drew, what was I saying? You should have been playing.
I think Jessica Chastain.
Was I saying Chastain?
Or were you saying Bryce Dallas
Howard? Or was I saying Amy Adams?
Oh, you said Amy Adams.
I was going for Amy Adams for the redhead.
Yeah.
It's Jessica Chastain.
Okay.
It's the other redhead. It's one of the three redheads working today. Jessica Chastain, who...
That's great.
Huge fan of Jessica Chastain, so I'm perfectly fine with that, absolutely. I love her, she's great. So here we go. So, James McAvoy, Jessica Chastain. Now, we have the fat kid. Who do you think is going to play fat kid Ben?
Somebody who's not fat anymore.
Yeah, because that's part of the arc.
That's correct. So someone's not fat, that's correct. Yes. You guys are going to get this. His name is Jay Ryan. He plays the Beast in the CW's Beauty and the Beast reboot.
Does he look like the fat kid, but without fat?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Well, in defense of
sure.
In defense of both castings.
But Drew, what are you doing?
No! Oh, it fell.
You grabbed it. That was your phone. You grabbed it.
Yeah, okay. He's just a dude. This guy's just a dude. So he's whatever. Okay, here we go.
To the defense of the original, like, the fat kid and John Ritter did not look alike, so.
Fair enough. That fat kid, so. Lucky to grow up to be John Ritter. All right, there's a nerd guy. The nerd kid who is also a potty mouth, played by Finn Wolfhard from mm-hmm. Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm. James Parsons.
You're going with Parsons, the Big Bang Theory, Sheldon. How about you, Drew?
No idea.
Bill Hader will be playing.
I think so? Yeah. I kind of see it in the face.
They
kind of look like each other a little bit.
If you put them side by side.
Yeah, when you put them side by side.
Bill Hader, Finn Wolfhard?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, but I still see a little bit of Jim Parsons. But it's not a bad choice. I like Bill here.
Yeah, all right.
Very funny.
So far, a pretty solid cast.
I can imagine him bursting out in a lot of cursing expletives and everything.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. He's good at that. He's Bill Hader. All right, here we go. And then Mike Hanlon, a.k.a. the Black Kid.
Ah, yes, the Black Kid.
His name was Mike.
The one, the only, the black kid.
So there's the white kid, the girl kid.
There's the white,
the fat kid.
Well, no, there's three white kids. Just one of them's fat, one of them has glasses, and one of them's still a nerd.
Yeah, but that's a stereotype. He's the fat kid.
fat white kid. Anyway, and then redhead girl who's I was gonna say something bad, and then black kid.
Appalachian American.
Who are you going for, black kid? Black kid is gonna grow up to be.
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Chiwetel Ejiofor, great choice.
I just like saying his name.
Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan, also a great choice, is going to Isaiah Mustafa. Isaiah Mustafa is the dude from the Old Spice commercials.
I was going to say, is he brothers with Colonel Mustafa from...
The dude from the Old Spice commercials.
It's the dude from...
The new Old Spice?
No, the older ones. One's before Terry Crews. Yeah. The I'm on a horse guy.
Yeah. I'm on a horse.
He seems really old.
In this picture, he does. Yeah, well, he's been around for a minute.
Yeah.
It also says he was on the show Shadowhunters, apparently.
Whatever that is.
So
you saw his shadow, and he started hunting for it. He never caught it.
Oh, and then there's one more white kid.
There's
another white kid. It's played by someone I don't even know who this guy is. James Ranson? Ransone?
That's the overprotected kid, I think.
Yes. The overprotected kid. Yes, correct. And he's from some show called Sinister? I don't know. He's just some guy.
Not the film.
Sure, some
no,
guy.
No, a show. He's from a show.
Some guy.
He's just some guy.
He looks like a young Bruce Campbell.
Minus sure, like half a chin.
He had chin reduction surgery. It's fine. You know, those things are expensive.
He got bullied.
And then there's the other white kid.
More white kids?
I forgot how many white kids. This is the one with the dandy haircut. He's got the Flock of Seagulls haircut. And he's played by some dude named Andy Bean, who's on the Starz drama Power. So that's just another case of another white guy.
Oh, the Power.
So half the cast, great. Half the cast, random white dudes. There you go.
Sounds like a lot of movies.
Although McAvoy is a white boy.
Yeah, but he's great, though. He's transcended his white boyness to just be great. He was in Split. You see Split? Samuel L. Jackson, he was just quoted as being like, he was working with McAvoy
for
on
Glass.
Split. Yeah, for Glass. And being like, this guy's blown away how he's having arguments with himself as four different people, like right in front of him. He's like, man, this guy is good. He really appreciates James McAvoy there. All right, so there you go. That's your It 2 cast. Juicy Guy, where I realized I dropped in the wrong bed music, so that's why there was no Juicy Guy, where's the world cue.
Ha!
So we're just going to do it. Time for some Juicy Guy, where's the world. Juicy Guy, where's the first one? Juicy Guy, where's the first one?
That's great, Chris.
Here we go. This week's game is called Castmates. Drew, you are 15-8 this year. 15-8. You won last week. This week's game is called Castmates. I'm going to name three actors or actresses. You name the movie. Okay. So, Drew, I have two groups of five. A, B. What do you want? A or B? What do you want? What do you want?
B.
What do you want? Group B. Here we go. I'm going to give you all five right now. Three actors. Who named the movie? You ready? Number one, Roy Scheider, Richard Dreyfuss, Robert Shaw.
No idea.
No idea. Jaws? That's Jaws. Number two, Jeff Goldblum, Gina Davis, John Getz.
The Fly.
That's correct. Yeah. Number three, Ben Affleck, Henry Cavill, Scoot McNairy.
I mean, was it Justice League? Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice?
Which one? You gave me two. You said two movies, Justice League and
BBS.
Batman vs. Superman. You're going
BBS DOJ.
That is correct.
BBS DOJ.
Number four, Jake Gyllenhaal, Seth Rogen, Patrick Swayze.
Donnie Darko.
Donnie Darko is correct. Then finally, number five, Danny Trejo, Steve Buscemi, Salma Hayek.
Can I?
They even made an awful TV show.
Can I?
Well, that one he's done. You gotta give him a second.
I can't think of the name of it.
Spy Kids.
No. Desperado.
No.
I think you were trying to think of Dusk Till
Dawn. I was.
But you know what? They actually are in Spy Kids 2 together.
Spy Kids 2?
Yeah.
No, okay, well, you said Spy Kids. Here we go. So you got 3 out of 5.
Hold yeah.
On. Here we go. All right, here we go. Eddie, that's the game. Number one, name the movie. Brad Pitt, Ed Norton, Helena Bonham Carter.
Oh, Fight Club.
Number two, that's correct. Number two, Val Kilmer, Nicole Kidman, Tommy Lee Jones.
That's Batman Forever.
That's correct. Number three, Robert Downey Jr., Jon Favreau, Terrence Howard.
Iron Man 1.
That is correct. Number four, Kurt Russell, Keith David, Wilford Brimley.
Kurt Russell?
Mm-hmm. Keith David, Wilford Brimley.
Oh. Can't.
No, nothing.
I'm blanking out on that one.
Drew, you got that one? Any idea? No? You don't got it either?
Oh, Escape from New York.
No, not Escape from New York.
LA?
A couple years earlier, The Thing.
Oh, The Thing.
Oh, how Brimley, can I forget you're the right. Thing? Brimley was in The Thing.
Yes, yes, like Beatrice. Number five, Keanu Reeves, Dolph Lundgren, Ice-T.
What?
Keanu Reeves, Dolph Lundgren, Ice-T.
No. Looks like, no. Oh no, are we going to have a tie? Are we going to have a tiebreaker, maybe? Jesus. Yeah, I can't
figure it out. All right, Drew, you want to take a shot at one? Keanu Reeves, Dolph Lundgren, ST? No idea. Johnny Mnemonic. Oh,
I almost said Johnny Mnemonic,
yeah. You guys are tied up. That means, here we go, tiebreaker. Yeah, piece of paper. You got that piece. Take that pen. Drew, you need this pen. Here we go, guys. Closest to the pin without going over. If you both go over, it's the one who goes over the least. Here's your tiebreaker. How, guys, you know the Land Before Time?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Remember that? Mm-hmm. How many Land Before Time movies have been made? How many Land Before Time movies have been made? Closest to the pin without going over. Drew's answers and Eddie's answers. And here we go. How many Land Before Time movies have been made? Eddie, you said 15. Drew, you said 6. Closest without going over, the answer is 14. You went over by 1. Oh, Drew, you win.
There were 14 Land Before Time.
I knew it was something like that.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I do know that for a fact. It's just that I didn't remember if it was 14, there 15.
You, oh, man. Well, it's unfortunately close to the pin without going over. Price is the right rules. You went over by 1. So, just kind of you were the winner. But, man, that was a battle. That was a hell of a game, guys. You did great.
14. How many?
That was a fantastic game.
How many good ones?
One. Are we still telling the story of the same little dinosaurs?
No, well, I've seen some of them. So okay. So, they actually meet a Tyrannosaurus in the island.
It's okay.
Chomp or Chomper or something like
okay.
that. Obviously. And it's just there's one where they find a long neck that's like a John Wayne character, and he's voiced by James Garner, actually.
What?
So that's
thank God, James Garner's getting some work.
God, he's dead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, towards the end there.
Yeah, but actually, the legend was the legend of Long Neck or something like that, or Thunder Whip or something like that, because his tail whipped like a.
Oh, okay, yeah. Big old dinosaur. Oh, all right. Oh, here we go. All right, time for the lightning round. Lightning round time. I got, let me see here. Make sure everything's going fine. All right, I have 10 questions, Eddie. And then this is how we're going to get inside your brain. I have 10 questions. I need 10 answers. I need you to give me these answers as fast as possible. You
okay.
ready?
Okay.
All right, Drew, start that clock.
Go.
Number one, have you ever seen ladybugs?
No.
Number two, have you ever gone sideways?
Yes.
Number three, do you remember your growing pains?
Yes.
Number four, red, white, blue, rank them.
Blue, red, white.
Number five, iced tea or iced coffee?
Iced coffee.
Number six, ice cream or cream of wheat?
Ice cream.
Number seven, Wheaties or Trix?
Trix.
Number eight, Trix or John's?
Trix.
Number nine, are you fine with binary choices? Yes or no?
Yes.
Number 10, fuck, marry, kill, Hurricane Katrina, the San Francisco earthquake of 1989, Benito Mussolini.
I would fuck Benito because he's Italian, so you could get something out of there at least.
Okay.
I would definitely
murder Hurricane Katrina?
Katrina.
So you would marry the San Francisco earthquake of 1989.
Yeah, because it's San Francisco. Fuck San Francisco.
All right, there you go. Drew Sakagra, break out the swag baggery. Here we go. We get the blue bag. We got the other blue bag, and we got the green bag. Which one do you maybe want to go home with today?
Let's go with the blue bag.
Ooh, which one? The dark blue?
Dark
cobalt.
Not the turk.
Cobalt or cyan.
Or cyan. Turquoise. It's a bit of a teal.
Sir, you may get to go home with
sort of a sky
the
blue.
Glitter sand art set. It has 3 bags of sand and 1 glass bottle. Congratulations. Ooh. We've got a copy of The Junior Spy Agency starring Kevin Sorbo and Dee Wallace.
Oh.
Cinema Crest produced a bootleg edition of Rocky Balboa. Runtime of 1 hour and 42 minutes, and it may be slightly scratched because it's not in the case properly. Hang on. Trying to fix this for you.
Yep.
Breaking it more.
All right, there we go.
We've got a pig keychain light.
I actually...
Ooh, it oinks.
The best one there.
There's jokes and gags, whoopee cushion, a magnet that says I pooped today, and I'm sure we'll be putting a lot of stickers and magnets in there as well from our associates.
That's
podcasts.
Right, all that swag baggery can be yours, Eddie, or we take it, we put it away, you never see it again, and instead you take what we have in the box right over here, that's right!
What's in the box? What's in the fucking box?
We got the box. What do you want? You want to take what's in the box, or do you want the bag? You know what's in the bag, you have no idea what's in the box. What do you want to do? Ah, that's right. Let's make a deal. What do you want to do?
I'll take the box.
We're taking the box. All right, here we go. Pop that top. Reach inside and let us know what you got.
Oh, shit. It is One for the Money. A Stephanie Plume novel.
Oh, yep. There you go. Remember that movie starring Katherine Heigl, One for the Money?
No.
Yeah, show. Do you remember that cover? Look at it. Now a major motion picture starring Katherine Heigl, One for the Money. Came out a couple years ago. No? Anyone?
No.
Well, there you go.
No.
That's the book that famous movie was based on, starring the inimitable Katherine Heigl, everyone's favorite actress.
Yep.
All right, everyone's favorite.
Whatever happened to her?
She became a bitch and nobody wanted to hire her. That's literally...
I think that she smokes, so she smells like cigarettes all the time.
Cool.
It's L.A., man. You can't get away with that in L.A. anymore. All right, there we go. So there you go. You got a book. You got some reading material for the shitter. All right, enjoy it. Thank you, Eddie, for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for everything, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you so much, Drew. Thank you.
Very welcome.
Thank you everyone for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Make sure you rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts as well as all the other streaming services. Break up the big banks. Be excellent to each other. Read more books. And free Mumia Abu-Jamal. We are out of here.
A PFT Media production.